Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome everybody to Histories of the Unexpected, the show in which we explain how everything has a history, even the most unexpected of subjects, like worms, peanuts, and ears.
Sam, I want to do all of those, particularly worms. I think we should definitely do a history of worms. However, we will be following the links in our minds as we come across them, explaining how those histories link together in unexpected ways. Who knew, for example, who knew that the history of nicknames, name-calling, is in fact all about social order in the Viking world, or that the history of poison is all about female power in the Roman Empire. If you're interested in those, you should check out our little books on the Vikings and the Romans.
That man not sitting opposite me, because we're social distancing, will help pilot us through these micro histories. He's one of the country's leading professors of history. It's Professor Extraordinaire James Daybell.
Hello, Sam, and the man not sitting opposite me, because we are in these dim, dark times of lockdown, but nonetheless, ably helping me co-pilot these episodes is the famous historical adventurer himself, Dr. Sam Willis.
Hello, everyone. This is the eighth of our special Christmas-themed micro-histories in which we embrace the task of demonstrating how an unexpected subject not only has a history, but is massively important and interesting. We do it in just 15 minutes, and we do it without just talking faster. We start with a shared example, then have just 5 minutes each to make a case for an interesting history on that very unexpected subject. Contributions will be rigorously timed.
They will indeed be rigorously timed, Sam. You can rest assured about that. But you, our dear listeners, you will get to vote on social media about what you think was the most interesting fact that you heard in the episode today.
Today's topic, inspired by Christmas, is the obvious one. It's carrots. What have carrots got to do with Christmas? James, where are we going to start?
Of course it is. I'm getting very excited about carrots for my own Christmas lunch. I've got a recipe of, you know, using maple syrup and cumin seeds and all sorts of things. But that is to digress, because when you think about Christmas nowadays, you think about luxury, you think about excess, you think about all the food and drink that you're going to consume, and then all the exercise that you need to do afterwards in order to get your svelte figures back in shape. However, it was not always thus, because during the World Wars, with rationing imposed and with supply lines of the British Empire being greatly reduced, this meant that such luxury Christmas treats were nothing more than a pipe dream, and much more humble ingredients had to be used. And this is where the humble carrot in particular comes in. The carrot in the mid-war period and during the Second World War was a much lauded, versatile and plentiful foodstuff. So much so that during World War II, a recipe booklet was produced with instructions for thrifty carrot-based dishes, yum, including carrot soups, carrot savoury, carroted croquettes, and what is known as a war and peace pudding.
This was an alternative to Christmas pudding. It was made with carrots instead of mincemeat. What? I'm not sure I'd like that. First made in Canada during the First World War, it was made of flour, breadcrumbs, suet, grated raw potato, and, of course, the magic ingredient, the bit that makes it so deliciously yummy, carrot, used to bulk out the mixed dried fruit and spice. Note the lack of fortified spirits. There's no brandy in this dullest of carrot cakes. Anyway, It was so popular that many never actually went back to eating the richer, more exotic variety. Would you believe that? So there you are. That is how carrots are also do with Christmas. When you're chowing down on your Christmas cake or your Christmas pudding, think of all the poor people in the Second World War who were having a big, nasty, bland orange one, James.
Oh, I think actually a carrot cake pudding
would be delicious. I hate them.
Would be delicious. Carrot cake is lovely. Anyway, where are we going with carrots throughout the centuries, Sam? That's what I want to know.
Who's
going
to start? Do you want me to go?
I'm happy for that. Yes.
Are you happy for me to
Absolutely.
Start? Okay, count me down. Oh, hang on. Okay. I've got to get my timer up and ready, James.
Get your timer up
so
and
I've
ready.
I've got some idea of what the hell's going on.
It's actually quite difficult to time it to 5 minutes, isn't it? You're either too short or you're totally over.
Yeah. Okay.
So, okay, I'm going to rigorously time you. You have 5 minutes from now. 3, 2, 1. Do history.
You made me crack up. Do history.
Sorry.
Make carroty history. No, it's excellent.
It's all part of it. You've already lost 10
no,
seconds.
No, shut up. When I was in Iran filming the Silk Road for the BBC, I came across an object, right? It looked like a carrot. It tasted like a super delicious carrot, but it was not a carrot, James. Or it didn't look like a carrot because, as far as I was concerned, this was the wrong colour. It was unbelievable. This thing was orange. It was not orange. Sorry, it was white. It was the weirdest albino carrot you've ever come across. And at the time, I thought it was just weird and ignored it until now. But, you know, you see how these things come around. You can see the entire value of histories of the unexpected for investigating the past in new and profound ways, James. Because now I realise there is a purpose to me coming across this white carrot. It is to draw inspiration for studying the history of the colour of carrots. Yes, James, the history of the colour of carrots is the thing, and it actually exists. So many people, I think, might assume the original carrot colour is orange, but in fact all of the different colours available today, and there are a wide variety, come from one common pale ancestor, a white carrot, a wild carrot. What happened then? Well, around 1,100 years ago, farmers living in what's now Afghanistan take advantage of a mutation in the genes of the white carrots, and they discover a yellow variant. 600 years later in Europe, the cultivation takes another turn, and that colour changes, goes deeper and darker, possibly because it's mixed with another wild carrot, the Asian purple carrot. So here, the very existence of the orange carrot owes itself to the existence of trade routes running between the land of the white carrot, right? So Central Asia, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Asia, the land of the purple carrot. So scientists know that much about it, the genetic history of the carrots. But what about historical sources? Well, I decided to look at the different sources available for the studying of different carrot varieties. And you wouldn't believe how many there are. There's a particularly splendid album in the British Museum called the Albrecht Dürer album. This guy was a painter, draftsman, printmaker, designer. He was German. And he travels all over Europe in the 1490s, gathering inspiration for his later artistic career. And he's clearly at some point inspired by some white carrots. He either draws them himself, he was a very fine draftsman, or he's bought an existing drawing. We don't know which, but it's magnificent. It's hand-drawn in pencil. There are four very knobbly, wild-looking carrots, and someone's been inspired to preserve them. So that's one example of an image of a carrot. But if you wanted to be more specific, say in Holland in the mid-1500s, you'd go to the excellent Hallwyl Museum in Stockholm and look at a painting called A Market Scene by the excellent Peter Ertzen. It shows a veritable cornucopia of veg. There are marrows, squashes, grapes, cabbages, blackberries, apples, and loads of carrots. A whole range of them that were available in Holland in the 1500s are all there to see. You've got orange, there are white ones, there are purple varieties, all of different sizes and all clearly shown. But there's certainly something more than just look at these carrots going on here. Ertzen usually paints religious paintings. He suddenly changes his career and starts painting fruit and veg. And it's not just that, it's
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think the word saucy, James, would probably describe this painting. The lady running the market stalls, bending over, pushing her breasts out. She's holding an enormous cabbage head, which is a symbol of female sexuality. But behind her is a bloke with a very large carrot, which he's using to point at his crotch. So, you know, rather unsubtly bringing attention to his sexual capacity. So what's going on here? Why has Ertzen suddenly decided to stop painting religious scenes and to start doing saucy stuff and to paint veg? Well, there's one very interesting and good explanation. Hadrianus Junius, a Dutch historian, wrote a history of the Low Countries called Batavia in 1588, the year of the Spanish Armada. And he writes, as it seems sketched with the pen humble things and has rightly acquired in universal judgment the highest renown. And for this reason, he, meaning Ertzen, can, at least in my opinion, be equally designated with the tag painter of low and sordid things. To such an extent does a certain charm shine through everywhere in his works. Having expressed most elegantly in Country Boys the texture and clothing of the body, victuals, vegetables. I'm stuffing. What have we got there? Wow.
Isn't that good? That is a Hoffa tractor. Isn't that great?
Some really good farming history there, James.
Really old farming sound there. Historical tractor sound.
Let me finish up here.
This
is the description from the historian Hadrianus Junius writing about Ertzen's work. So contrary to pleasure that can be fulfilled, his panels never weary by virtue of their infinite variety. The result is that these panels sell at a higher price than the competent and very large panels of many. So what Junius is doing here is celebrating the value of the everyday orderliness in Ertzen's art. He's seeing beauty in the humble carrot, beauty in the everyday world around him. It's a very Protestant approach to history, this. He's seeing magic in the humblest of places and celebrating life for what it is, not what it should be. So there you go, James. The history of carrots is all to do with artists in Holland appreciating the world around them, seeing the world with new eyes in the 1500s.
Oh, Sam, that's very profound. I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Thank you very much. Where are you going to go?
Well, I don't know yet.
It's going to be a surprise.
I'm not going to tell you.
Right,
you start.
You've got five minutes.
Count me in. You'll be surprised.
Make carroty history. Go.
Okay, well, I didn't quite know where to go with carrots. With a Christmas theme, I was wondering, do we go down the snowman route? Do we think of carrots as noses? Do we take it the whole World War II route and think about feeding pilots carrots to allow them to have better eyesight, which was all about propaganda? Do we think about taking on the idea of carrots as a foodstuff and the sort of an elastic foodstuff that could be produced? Or do we even think about post-1920s of people being carrot-coloured through their use of fake tan? Now, I thought that was just taking things too far. Now, what we've been talking about in the example of carrots during the Second World War is about carrots as a very important and valuable commodity during rationing, you know, fill the tables of people in a very sort of important way. But what I want to talk about now is the use of carrots slightly earlier in the ancient and medieval world, when actually carrots, would you believe it, were a form of medicine. Who knew that the humble carrot was so darned important? And this comes courtesy of the wonderful website, the Carrot Museum, which is curated by a brilliant person who has located almost every fact in the world about carrots. And it's a really sort of learned website. It's got all sorts of material from, you know, way back into antiquity, and it's digested all the materials there. One of the interesting things reading through a lot of the source materials is the way in which the etymology of carrot has changed over time, the way in which people have come to categorise carrots, the way in which they've distinguished them from parsnips, also the way in which they suddenly, you know, post-Reformation, sort of, so we're talking about post-Renaissance, sort of 16th century onwards, they're increasingly used as foodstuffs. But between about 200 and 1500, if you look at a lot of the medical manuscripts that survive, they are used as medical plants, you know, as medical vegetables. And we can go to the writings of Athenaeus, 3rd century CE, in one of his sort of books on cookery, where he describes the carrot here. And he says of it that this is pungent, very nourishing, and fairly wholesome, with a tendency to loosening and windiness, not easy to digest, very diuretic, calculated to rouse sexual desire, hence by some it is called love philtra. So which is quite extraordinary, sort of the properties of carrots there. Now, if we look at the work of the Greek physician Dioscorides, who catalogued hundreds of medicinal plants and species, he also includes the humble carrot there. And in his third book, he sets out roots, and he talks about the account of roots, their juices, herbs, seeds, suitable for common use in medication. And there's a section here on the wild and cultivated carrot. The wild carrot, but some call ceras, it has leaves like those of the carrot, but wider and somewhat bitter, an upright stem that is rough and that has an umbel like that of dill, on which there are white flowers, and in the middle there's something small and purplish, as if it were nap on woollen cloth. The root is as thick as a finger, a span long, aromatic and edible when boiled. When drunk, or even when applied, its seed sets the menses going. It is suitable for those that pass water painfully and with difficulty, for those with edemata, for pleurisy in potions, and for bites and strokes of wild animals. They say that reptiles do not harm people who have taken it in advance. It also aids conception. As for the root, it too is diuretic, aphrodisiac, and expels embryos, fetuses, when used as a pessary. So in other words, you're seeing it as an abortificant here. So, you know, a way to actually rid oneself of an unwanted pregnancy. The leaves ground and applied with honey.
Your 5 minutes is up, James.
Oh! What was that?
A steam engine from the 1890s.
A bit of the
noise of farming for all of you farm historians out there. But I'll let you finish your sentence and conclude.
Okay, the leaves ground and applied with honey clear cancerous sores completely. And then there's another little extract that I wanted to read. The seed of all of them warms. When drunk, it draws out the menstrual period, embryos and fetuses and urine. It relieves colic and it allays chronic coughs. It comes to the aid of people bitten by poisonous spiders when drunk with wine, and it disperses swellings when plastered on. All of them are used for their seed. Goodness me, who would have known that carrots would have such marvellous properties? There we are, Sam. Ancient and medieval carrots.
I'm going to be careful when I eat a
medicine.
Carrot now.
Yeah. I know, so am I. Mm. So am I. I might become windy.
guys, I hope you enjoyed that little carroty micro-history. We've got a long, full episode on the history of reindeer coming your way soon as well, if you're still feeling the Christmas spirit. That's it, guys. Do please follow me on Twitter at Dr. Sam Willis.
And you can follow me at James Daybell. And you can follow us on the pod as well, on @unexpectedpod. And we are on Instagram and Facebook, and check out everything that we've been doing on our website, historiesoftheunexpected.com.
Yeah, particular call out to teachers. We've done a load of homeschooling series and they're absolutely fantastic, and we're going to do a few more coming your way soon. That's it for now, guys. Bye.
Bye, guys. Happy Christmas.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.